Good morning. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. It's somewhat the beginning, I guess, of the summer season. And I want to try my best in a little bit to bring you a message somewhat on Memorial Day. And I ask that you please pray for me this morning. But what I'd ask you to do, first of all, if you would stand. And let's, as a church, as a body, sing together from our hearts, loud and proud, God Bless America. Can we do that? Everyone sing out this morning.
God bless America.
Standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn over to page number 139. Page 139, and let's sing at Calvary. Everyone sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me.
Today, and I hope that you're having a great Memorial Day weekend already. We've had a few rain showers, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for that blessing. We sure need some rain. But pray that the Lord would just keep you all safe. Please be safe as you travel. If you plan to do anything on tomorrow, please be careful and be safe out there. But I hope that you just have a great, great weekend and a great time spending time with your family. Please remember the service this morning. And this evening, 5 o'clock, I believe Brother Alan Young has a service tonight, 5 o'clock downstairs. Please remember that. Of course, Wednesday's at 7. And so pray the Lord would just continue to speak through the Word of God and pray for me this morning as we try and bring a message toward the thought of Memorial Day. And I pray the Lord would just give us something great here today. Please remember all those that have been going through some difficult times. It's so good to see Miss Glenda back with us this morning. She's been through a few weeks of some hard times, and we just continue to lift you up, Miss Glenda, in prayer. Miss Claudia, it's great to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. She has had some doctor's visits this week, but it's great to see you here today. And it's great to have my little granddaughter, Charlie, with us this morning. 2 weeks ago, everything was going fine on that Sunday morning, and boy, things took a turn. And on Monday, she had surgery that Monday evening. She hasn't been feeling the best in the world, but this morning, they turned her loose, and here she come running down that aisle. And I am so, so thankful for that. Thankful for the goodness of God. Amen. Please, again, just remember the services, remember these prayer requests, and also on Thursday, I believe you'll be getting together for the shoe boxes. That's this coming Thursday, so please remember that. But let's go to him in a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service and the offering as well. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us this morning?
We will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no stop. I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Before Charlie sings, come on, baby. I just want to thank you guys for praying for her while she was in the hospital. Sorry, I have to excuse me. I'm a little emotional this morning. It was no coincidence that the Sunday morning before all this happened, Brian preached, and it was just so, like, I've heard the verse all my life, but that morning it was just soaking into me, and I just kept thanking the Lord when he was preaching that I'm so thankful that what time I am afraid, because I've been afraid a lot throughout my life, but what time I am afraid, I can trust in thee. And that morning, it was just an awesome message. And then when we got home that afternoon is when everything happened with Charlie. But still through that whole thing, I kept saying, God, what time I am afraid, I can trust in thee. I knew I could trust in him, but it was still very scary. But as they were wheeling her back, I couldn't think of anything to do. I was trying not to cry. I was scared to death. She seemed fine, honestly. She just laid there. But as I was crying and trying not to let her see me cry, I just began to just quote that scripture over her. And I kept saying it to her and saying it to her and saying it to her. And she just kept looking at me like, well, no, I'm not really that scared. But I was. But Brian, thank you for that message that morning. And I think I was so thankful that, like I said, I'd heard that all my life, but that morning it just so soaked into my brain and into my heart and into my spirit, and it was what got me through those next few days is that scripture. I just kept saying it to myself and to Charlie, but we came home after what seemed like forever at the hospital. Should have just been a few days. It turned into 6, and when we got home, she was sitting there just... She'd asked for chicken. She actually asked me at about 11 o'clock one night to go home and make her chicken and dumplings. And I was like, well, babe, by the time I got back, you would be asleep. But I was willing to because she had not eaten in days. But I made her some chicken and dumplings, and she's sitting on the couch, still looked just, you know, weak as water and no color to her. And she just looked at me and she said, I'm ready to go back to church, and I want to sing a song. I said, okay. So, of course, I said, what are you going to sing? And I'm naming off all these things, and this is what she said she wanted to sing, and she's sitting there in her bedroom just going over it, and I said, okay, that's what you want, and it must have meant something to her little heart, and we're just thankful for his protection, for your prayers, that we're back here. I'm thankful that what time I am afraid, I could trust in thee. Go ahead, babe. Thank you.
So now I get to follow that. God is good all the time and all the time. I'm so thankful for the way the Lord has been with Charlie and with the family. And thank you for your prayers and your kindness and your love and all the things, all the gifts. And but most of all, thankful for the prayers. Glad to be a part of the family of God. Amen. I want to try my best today to bring you somewhat of a Memorial Day type message. It's Memorial Day 2026. It's hard to believe where we are. Memorial Day is more than a cookout. It's more than hamburgers and hot dogs, and baked beans and potato salad, even though all those things are good. And we probably will share in all those things in the next couple of days. It's even better than fried pies and ice cream. Let me just give you a little heads up. Fried pies are coming for Father's Day. That's already in the works and on the plan. And we're excited about that. All of those things are good. Spending time together, getting together, maybe going to a park, or going swimming, take the kids swimming. All those things are great. But it's not the true, real meaning of Memorial Day. Memorial Day honors the ultimate sacrifice of fallen service members, men and women alike. We've said this many times. All gave some, but some gave all. Brother Randy.
The sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who in return loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions, we must strive to keep faith with them and with a vision that led them to battle and a final sacrifice. Our first obligation to them and ourselves is plain enough. The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. The willingness of some to give their lives so that others might live never fails to evoke in us a sense of wonder and mystery. And how they must have wished, in all the ugliness that war brings, that no other generation of young men to follow would have to undergo that same experience. As we honor their memory today, let us pledge that their lives, their sacrifices, their valor shall be justified and remembered for as long as God gives life to this nation. And let us also pledge to do our utmost to carry out what must have been their wish, that no other generation of young men will ever have to share their experiences and repeat their sacrifice.
Concepts of earthly service and spiritual sacrifice. It often anchors the message in scriptural themes of remembrance, of gratitude, of profound love that we find in the scriptures. If you will, this morning, turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 15 and verse number 13. It's very, very familiar scripture to us this morning. But I believe that it still speaks volumes. Starting in verse number 12 of chapter 15 of the book of John, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus went on to say, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's a great parallel between those who made the earthly sacrifice for our country's freedom and the ultimate sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary for our eternal salvation. Scripture frequently commands us to establish memorials and to remember the works of God. Do you recall in the book of Joshua, chapter number 4, when the Israelites were setting up 12 stones as a memorial to remind future generations of God's faithfulness and their history? Memorial Day is our national memorial stone, if you will. It's a time dedicated to pause to ensure that the cost of freedom is not free, and to remind us that the men and women who paid the price are not lost in the busyness of just another holiday weekend. This morning, I want to give you a few thoughts on living in the memory. Let's go to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer. Lord, this morning, we need a touch from heaven. Lord, a fresh touch. We need an anointing to break the yoke. Lord, we're trusting in you today to speak to us, to give us, Lord, and remind us of some things that we stand in need of. Some things, Lord, that we can look back on and realize just how good you have been to us. Lord, we know that you have something in store for us as a church. And Lord, we're going to go ahead and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do. Lord, we pray and we seek, trying to find your guidance, your leadership for a pastor. And Lord, we're just going to go ahead and praise you in advance for what we know that you are going to do. Lord, we know it's your will for us to have a man of God to come and to lead this congregation, to lead this church and this community. And Lord, we're going to go ahead and praise you now. We'll praise you, Lord, on credit, because we know that your credit is good. Lord, we'll praise you and thank you now for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. Amen. I have come to realize as I walk out this journey, and it's pretty much what we all do, Brother Ceylon, we're just walking out our journey. And we tend to compile time much like this. We compile time in minutes, in hours, in days, in weeks, months, and years. We celebrate things like birthdays. Happy birthday to Ceylon. We celebrate things like anniversaries, graduations. Over the past month or so, we've celebrated weddings. We've celebrated retirements, of which I am thankful for. We are thankful today for time that we can spend together. I'm thankful this morning for all of you who are here today. And we come together and we're thankful for these times. But we must realize that we must take advantage of time that we have, because we are not promised tomorrow. Many of you know that I work part-time for the police department in Douglasville. I retired in November with the sheriff's office, and in December I started working at the police department just a couple of days a week, just to have a little bit of something to do and have a little income and to continue my post requirements that I need to be able to stay in law enforcement where I need to go back to something. But I also work at the funeral home, and we unfortunately have been very busy. I guess that's good for the owners and not so good for the family. But I have heard this said several times just over the past month or so in visitations, at funeral services, in parking lots, and at the gravesides. I've heard people say this, same words, over and over. And that is, funerals have become the new family reunions. Is that not true? Funerals have become the new family reunions. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember as a kid, we had family reunions. We all got together every Thanksgiving. And that big old turkey sitting out there on the table. We all got together every Christmas. We got together for Mother's Day and Father's Day. We came together as families. We also, I remember as a kid, that we had this thing called a decoration. Let me explain to you, especially the young folks. You're looking at me like, decoration? Decorate what? I don't even know. Amanda might even remember. She may not. But I remember us going, when I was a kid, we went up to the mountains the second Sunday of June every year, as long as I could remember growing up as a kid. And up there in the mountains at this old little white church back in the woods back there in the middle of nowhere in Blairsville, Georgia, we would go up to that church and we would all get together and go out there and put flowers on the graves of those that had passed on before. My great-grandparents were buried up there. My grandparents, uncles, and aunts that I never knew, never met. But we would go up there, and it was called the Decoration Sunday. Decorate the graves. But then the greatest thing of all is when all that was done, I went and got my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes off, put on some swimming trunks, and we went to a place, a park, a lake, and we'd have just a great time of getting together like a family reunion. It is sad that those times have all seemed to have passed away, and now our family reunion is titled as a funeral. But I have come to realize as I get older that it's not so much the days that seemed to stay with me. Terry and I have been together. I had to make sure that I had this right. Terry and I have been married for 30 years. Y'all saying, you, some of y'all have been married longer than I have. But for 30 years, this November the 18th, I had to check that. I want to make sure I got it right. This November the 18th will be 31 years that we've been together. We've been married. I don't remember all the years. I don't remember all of the Christmases. I don't remember all the birthdays. I don't even remember all of the anniversaries. I don't remember every day, every week, every month, every year. But I remember moments. Some things just stick out in my mind, and I remember, Jeff, memories that we have together. And we all do. You remember, if I were to give you an opportunity to stand up, every person this morning stand up and say, I remember a memory with my wife. Everybody'd have something, and it'd probably be something funny. A memory. A moment. That just sticks out in your mind. That's what we have. And that's all that really matters. It's what life is made up of. I always say, if I'm doing a funeral service, thank God for the memories. And cherish those. Because it's truly, at that point, all that we have left. Memories are important because they define us. Things that you sit on the couch and talk about and you laugh about, those kinds of memories. Or maybe you sit on the side of the bed and you talk about those things as you put your teeth in the jar. On the nightstand. My dad, he had false teeth, and he kept his right on the sink in the bathroom. And I'd go in there sometimes, I'd look at those things and think, and the worst thing was, is when he would smile without them. Or he'd want to give me a kiss before I went to school. I'm like, Daddy, put your teeth in. I love you and all. But those kinds of memories. How about those memories when you get in the bed and you're settled in, nobody's saying a word, and you're just waiting to go to sleep, and all of a sudden the bed starts going because somebody's laughing their head off about something that they thought about. Those are good times. Memories. Memories. This morning, and Terry, she loves to laugh at me for things. I do crazy things. This morning I'm standing down there studying the Word of God, trying my best to be prepared to bring the message from the blessed Word of God. And she'll give me my time and my space, especially on the Sunday morning. Of course, last night, over the week, you know, she gives me my time, my space to study. But she always gives me some special time on Sunday because I'm in there this morning and I'm walking it out, man. I'm preaching it out. You got to practice what you preach, don't you? And I'm in there this morning, and I'm just really into it, and all of a sudden she walks in the kitchen, and she's like, I'm like, what is it? I'm in here trying to study, and I'm fixing to be preaching in a little while. What in the world are you laughing about? She said, you got your shirt on backwards? But it's things like that that are memories, and we laugh. And we enjoy those times. But I wonder, have we gotten to the point to where we just, all we truly have are the memories? We love to sit on the porch and talk about old times. We love to just sit out there and look and just watch the birds and the squirrels and just enjoy times together. It's not always about getting all dressed up like the king and the queen and going out on the town. Sometimes it's just sitting around, making memories that will last forever. I have noticed, and I've paid close attention to Amanda and CJ, and they've gone a lot of places, and they've taken the kids and done a lot of things together. And she always says, there's nothing like just making memories with my kids. And that is so true. Make memories with your families. Make memories with your friends. Know this also. God understands living in the memory. Hear me this morning. Do you remember God telling Moses, I'm going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to cause the death angel to pass over by night, and I want you to put blood over the doorpost and the lintels. I want you to put blood over the doorpost, and when the death angel passes over, and when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And one moment became a point of reference for the next 1,000 years. God referred to the memory. We are here at Calvary Baptist Church this moment, this morning, and this moment at a time where we have never been before. We're here today. Many of you here this morning, and those that might be listening on Facebook, remember times past. It doesn't bother me so bad to come in and preach to a crowd like what we hear. And we have a pretty good crowd for Memorial Day weekend. I'm thankful for that. We've come in, Brother Brian, many times, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and have a handful. I don't know if you noticed this morning, I think we had 5 members in the choir. Those times don't really bother me. It doesn't bother me to preach to a small crowd. Of course, I wish this place was full, don't get me wrong. Just being honest. I wish there wasn't a place for anyone to sit. But it's doesn't bother me so bad to look out over the crowd and it's small. But really what truly breaks my heart is when I look back on the memories of times past. Does that make sense? When I look back and remember times and I heard people say, we're going to need to get some more chairs if we're going to have anybody else that wants to join the choir. And this morning, when Amanda and I were here, I turned around and there was 4 people there. That doesn't bother me so bad. What bothers me is the memory of what we had before. When the place was full, when the Holy Spirit was so thick, I remember Brother Snyder saying, the Holy Spirit's so thick you could cut it with a knife. I remember times when he would preach and you saw this. He had fallen down on his face before a holy God. And he would stand and he would make the statement. You remember him saying, I'm in a warm spot. And I don't want to do anything to mess up the warm spot. I don't know what to do, so I'm just not going to do anything. And he would sit there in the chair. And you could feel the presence of God in this place to where nobody wanted to move. So thick you could cut it with a knife. Souls being saved. The church was growing leaps and bounds. Busting at the seams, Larry. Do you remember times of Jubilee when we would come in here? And I know I've shared this before, but the Lord said, say it. I'm just going to say it. we'd just do with it what he would have us to do. And we were pulling chairs out from Brother Ceylon's class as fast as we could get them out here, lining them up and down the middle, some out on the side. Close your eyes with me for 1 second, okay, a few seconds. Can you, in your imagination, remember what it might have sounded like during the times of Jubilee? Keep your eyes closed for me for a minute. It's Monday night. Floyd Road has come in. There's not enough places for them to sit in the pews. Keep your eyes closed. They've went ahead and made their way up into the choir. We've got already gotten finished singing, and Brother Alan Barrett says, y'all just stay up here with us for a minute. And then you hear, there is a fountain filled with blood. You can open your eyes. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood. Sing the rest of it with me. Lose their guilty stains. Boy, I'm glad to know that my sins are under the blood from that fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins. I'm thankful, Brother Don, for memory. I'm thankful, Larry, for memories. I remember a Thursday night. Brother Lamar, he wasn't up here jumping around. He wasn't up here. He was just preaching the word. Brother Lamar Rackley. And these people, I'm talking about flooding the altar. Souls being saved, Brother Brian. Left and right. There's some getting saved on this side, and there's some getting saved over here on this side. I'm thankful. Is my heart sad that we are where we are? Somewhat. But I'm thankful for the memories. You see, God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changeth not. So if, and we know he did because we got the memory of it, if he could do it then, it would seem to me that the only reason that he's not doing it now is not him. Maybe, Brother Jeff, we would get to that place to where the word says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? And what? And pray. And turn from their wicked ways. He said, then would I hear from heaven. So it would lead me to believe that it's the people and not the God. But I am thankful for memories. I remember Brother Snyder singing, and the anchor holds. We'd be right up here in the choir singing away, and you look out there, and people come from everywhere and fill the altar. Though the ship is battered, and the altar would fill. I thank God for the memorials and for the memories. I'm thankful today and know that you are as well for his goodness. I'm thankful for memories. I'm thankful that we have lived through a time that we can look back. I'm glad that I can sing from my heart. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. The greatest day of my life I can remember in a little white frame Baptist church. No carpet on the floors, no pads on the pews. About halfway back when the Lord said, I'm speaking to you. That preacher's up there, man, he was getting her done. And he said, I'm speaking to you. You're the one that needs to be saved. I stood, I walked an aisle, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and accepted Jesus as my Savior. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. If you're here this morning and you don't remember that day, hey, go ahead and get her written down. That can be taken care of today. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Speaking of Memorial Day, I remember the time of Vietnam. I was just a kid. My cousin had gone off to Vietnam, and he was coming back home with a Purple Heart. Y'all know what that means. I remember, I was just a small kid, and I remember him coming in. He was in his uniform, came to my grandmother's house, and we were all there to meet him and to greet him as he came back home. But there was something different about him when he came back than when he left. I remember after the crowd had kind of dispersed, Mom and Daddy was still there, I was still there, and I remember going up to him and saying, hey, Donnie, what happened? He said, buddy, I can't talk about it. The memory of it breaks me, and I can't talk about it. I never heard him talk about it. At all. I never asked him again. Tears streaming down his face. That's the memory I have of Vietnam. I remember that. How about 9/11? When people thought it was greater to leap out of a building, that would be better than staying inside as the planes had crashed into the side of the Trade Center, New York. You remember that? Where were you when that took place? They wrote a song about it and everything, didn't they? Where were you? What did you think when you saw as that building crashed to the ground? There was nothing but that gray smoke and dust. People came running down the streets trying to get away. I remember that. You remember the time of COVID? What was it? COVID-19? Remember that? We got to the place of where we couldn't even come to church. Who would have ever thought that something that was invisible, an invisible disease that would cause us to not even be able to come to the house of God to worship. I had my Sunday school class. I taught it on a computer from home. We gathered and we had whatever the name of that thing was. Y'all probably remember. Zoom meetings. That's right. We had Zoom Sunday school and Zoom church. I'm thankful for it. It was a way for us to be able to gather still together around the Word of God. Zoom. Thank you, Jeff. But you remember that? We had to pray that God would keep us safe just to go to the grocery store. It was a terrible, terrible time. Thousands of people dead because of COVID. I had friends, and you probably did as well, that died from COVID. Shut down churches for the fear that it might kill us. to get out and to try and come. And then to only be able to come back. And we had masks down the hall. And we had, you go somewhere and they'd have gloves for you to put on. And masks. And little bottles of, what do you call that? Thank you. Y'all good at this. Hand sanitizer. We would come in here and the place had to be clean. And they'd go around and they'd fog the businesses inside the courthouse. We had this little fogging thing to try and kill the COVID. If they were to come to the courthouse, we had these thermometers set up and like a screen. And you had to walk up to it and put your face in it to see if you had a fever. If you had any symptoms, you were sent away. If you had court that day, I had to put on, I remember being down there and I had to put on gloves and a mask and walk over and have them to fill out this form with your name and your address and we'll get back to you. But you can't come to court. We take those to the judge and say, these are not going to be here today because they have symptoms of COVID. We had to make spots in here in the church. Y'all remember that? For you to be able to come and have somewhere to sit because we had social distancing. See, we remember things, don't we? Now, there's a reason that I have my name on my uniforms at work, everywhere I am. I can't hardly remember my own name. And if I see you in a crowd, please don't think that I mean anything by it. If I were to walk up to you and say, hey, bruh, all that means is I don't remember your name, but I remember your face. How you doing today, sir? You see, we can remember some things, but some things we still cannot. COVID, mask, and gloves. I've never seen anything like it. But we experienced it. We have the memory of it. I want to share with you very quickly in closing this morning. In the book of Psalms 137, there's 9 verses there. If you really go back and study it, it's been said that it's one of the bloodiest psalms. If you really go back and study the meaning and everything of that psalm. But I just want to share a couple of verses with you. In Psalms 137, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We wept when we remembered what we lost. Look at verse number 6. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Speaking of remembering things, does this ring a bell? In the book of Luke, chapter number 22, verses 19 and 20, it says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Notice this phrase. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. A lot of things we remember. A lot of things we have forgotten. But Lord, help us that we never forget what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Don't let the enemy drag you down. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't let the enemy try to take away who you are. For we are the children of the Most High God. Amen. We will remember, as the choir sang this morning. There's not a person in this building that God hasn't done something for you. If you were to really stop if we took the time to really think about the goodness of God. God is so good, and He has been so good to us. He has done something good for us. Sometimes we don't appreciate the good things until we lose them. Sometimes we don't appreciate the people in our lives, the friends that we have, the ministries we have, until we lose them. Has God ever done anything for you? Has He ever set you free from what has you bound? Have you ever just felt captive and yet God has set you free? Why don't we just go ahead and praise Him in advance for what He's going to do? Until the next door opens, let's just praise Him in the hallway. God's credit is good, and we can go ahead and praise Him for His goodness. If you'll stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we come to You on this Memorial Day weekend. We realize how blessed America. And we are forever grateful. But Lord, this morning, on the other side of that, we realize this morning that we are members of the family of God. And for that, we are so grateful. Lord, thank You for the opportunity we have this morning. Lord, I pray that maybe something that's said has touched someone's heart and caused them to realize just how good God has been. Maybe somebody might just want to come down and just praise the Lord for His goodness. Maybe someone's here this morning that's never accepted You, Lord, as their personal Savior. And they realize that this morning. They want to come down and be a part of this great family of God. Lord, whatever the need, Lord, I pray that You touch hearts. Lord, as we have just a little bit of a song, Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, get glory out of everything that's been accomplished here today. We'll praise You and thank You now for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. Fightings and fears with